Boxing is an unnatural act. Because everything in it is backwards. You want to move to the left. You don't step left. You push on the right toe. To move right, you use your left toe. Instead of running from the pain, like a sane person would do, you step into it.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long.
He is the super fly of TV broadcasting when it comes to boxing, folks. I'm talking about the former HBO godfather, Larry Merchant. You just got home. You've been all over the world. How many time zones?
I think it's 24.
Wow. Okay, that brings you all the way around the globe. So tell me about China and tell me about Zhu Xueqing. Tell me about this.
Well, I went over for the second Xueqing extravaganza promoted by Top Rank. Mm-hmm. Xueqing, 2-time gold medalist, many-time world champion, flyweight, etc. Got $1 million from Chinese sports authorities to stay as an amateur after he won his first gold medal to bring greater glory to his country.
How did he get the money? Aren't you supposed to, like, you know, how did they do that? Through a sponsorship deal or something? Put the money in a trust? And I thought if you gave an amateur
money. I don't know the specifics. It might have been something they put in bank accounts.
Right.
Top amateur athletes have been paid off in medals and watches and other stuff forever.
Flesh?
Particularly when they are required to be at a tournament or some other event mm-hmm. that people are paying to go to see.
True.
And there are stars that emerge, and Xueqing is a huge star in China, very important to the country and its government. Mm-hmm. And Bob Arum at Top Rank signed him, and because of Arum's connection in Las Vegas, he wound up going to the only arena in Macau, the old Portuguese colony across the bay from Hong Kong,
mm-hmm.
Which is the Great Wall of China, which is today is skyscrapers and the casinos.
Things have changed since 1993. Go on.
Right. They do 6 times the business of Las Vegas, supposedly.
Yeah.
And in that arena, they put Xueqing as the main event, even though he was doing a 4-rounder, and then this last time a 6-rounder, for which he got $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 very good fights among relatively unknown but top smaller weight division fighters. And it's a very good formula, and next, they're going there with Mr. Pacquiao and Mr. Rios for a big pay-per-view fight in November.
You know, I've been talking about like the former Soviet bloc and people like that producing a lot of fighters. Now it looks like they're starting to come out of A's, the Olympic middleweight gold medalist. I think his name is Ryota Murata.
Also signed by Top Rank in a co-promotion deal
uh-huh.
with a Japanese promoter. I looked it up in Ring Magazine. There are something like 30 fighters who were ranked from the Pacific
really?
Area.
Okay. Well, he dropped in his pro debut, he stopped the Oriental champion, 160 pounds, Akio Shibata, who came in at 21-7 with a draw and 9 knockouts. But the guy makes his pro debut and drills the Orient champion. So I guess he's looking for this guy, too. I mean, this is good. Because we've got the Russians producing a good product. The Americans only, you know, get their act together. And maybe Deontay Wilder. Is Deontay Wilder, is he progressing at all, Godfather?
Well, apparently he has. It's been what now? Going on 6 years since he left the Olympics.
Yep.
They have certainly slow-danced him to this point. Knocked everybody out, but the everybody's were, you know.
Guys like me.
you know, cabbies and postal workers. And we'll see if they stepped him up slightly in his last fight. We'll see if they step him up again, or if this is just another cynical way of preparing a guy for slaughter by a Klitschko.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to test him? Supposedly they're going to put him in against the winner of Areola and Mitchell.
Right.
And then we'll find out if the guy's got some chops. And by chops, I'm talking about a jaw. Because if you fight at heavyweight, as you know, sooner or later you're going to get hit by some big, strong guy. And how are you going to deal with it?
Hey, good point. Speaking of big, strong guys, Mike Tyson in the news, a former heavyweight champion, of course, Iron Mike Tyson at one point in time. Wow, Larry, saying he's dying of alcoholism and drug addiction. He did this in some interview he did in Verano, New York, and up there in upstate New York near the International Boxing Hall of Fame at that casino, that dry casino. I can't remember the name of it right now, but this is a bit of a shocker. I mean, I knew he had issues, but dying?
I don't know if he's being dramatic. You know, he had this one-man show.
True.
And maybe it's a little hyperbole, but it is. Maybe it's what the doctors have told them, that if you don't stop, you're not going to live long enough to see your children grow up.
Mm.
You have to admire him for being open about this issue. He's been trying to deal with the raw inside part of himself that never seems to go away, can't go away. And trying to come to terms with who he was and who, in some ways, he probably still is. This is, yes, I found myself very surprised by that admission.
Larry Murch is our guest, folks. We're talking about Mike Tyson, talking about his life coming to an end, the result of alcoholism and or drugs. You know, I was telling the listeners in the opening of the show when Don King had Mike Tyson on a bit of a leash, well, it was a leash, after he got released from prison in 1995, I had this private line. It was Don King's 893 number in Vegas, and I called this number, and Mike would pick up the phone each night. So each night we talked for 45 minutes to an hour sometimes on Stanley Ketchel and Jack Johnson and, I mean, Henry Armstrong. He knew these guys' records. He knew when they turned pro. He knew when they died. He was like an encyclopedia. He was incredibly...
Yes, he is, you know, he is a real... One of the few fighters who really investigated the history of what they do, and that was a credit to Cus D'Amato and Jimmy Jacobs, his original trainers and the co-manager, who felt that was a way to get him to read as a young guy, to get him interested in something, and to his credit, he applied himself. And he does relate to the history of boxing.
Okay. Larry Murch is our guest, folks. Mike Tyson in the news, as is Tommy the Duke Morrison, on his deathbed because of ARC, folks, and ARC is age-related condition. What happens is your body shuts down and different things start to happen to you. Some people just get wounds that don't heal, and that's what's happening with Tommy. So Tommy's in trouble somewhere in an Arkansas hospital, an undisclosed location. His mother says he's got days to live. His wife says he doesn't have AIDS. He doesn't have HIV. The bottom line is Tommy Morris is in serious, serious trouble. And is from a health point of view. But, you know, Larry, having worked at an agency in San Francisco that fed HIV patients, there were people that were living 20, 25 years that were coming in the door every day and getting food and because they took the medication. Tommy refused to take any medication. He was in denial from the start.
Well, unfortunately, that's how some people treat the symptoms of illness, by denying that they have them, by trying to smother them with feel-good stuff. That's a choice or impulse that they have, and I don't know Tommy Morrison well enough to be able to comment on why he does what he does.
Yeah, I say
I liked him as a young guy,
yeah.
And he had some real moments in the ring.
I saved him one night, Larry. He's fighting Ray Mercer, and Larry Hazard and Tony Perez, the referee, and like he's getting lit up by Ray Mercer's like 35 or 40 punches. And I had just seen a ring death like a few months earlier, okay? So I ran from the ninth row of my seat, and I ran up to the ringside, and I screamed across the ring, "Larry, stop the fight! Stop the fight!" So Hazard jumped on up on the canvas and stopped the fight at that point in time. So I saved Tommy once, can't save him again. I wish him the best, and I hope that, you know, he can turn...
As you well know, Pedro, you know, there are many fighters who have extreme lives out of the ring as well as in the ring.
Mm-hmm. Good way to put it, extreme lives. We'll let it go at that. How's your lovely wife doing? Did she travel with you? Of course.
Yeah, she came with me last time, but I'll be going over for Pacquiao and Rios, and I think she's going to stay back the next time.
Well, sometimes you can get enough of Macau. I had enough in two trips. That was pretty good. Or I'd like to go back to the New Day, Macau. Godfather, enjoy your Sunday. I thank you so much. We are blessed to have your presence, sir.
Thank you, Pedro.
The great Larry Merchant, a Hall of Famer, no question about that. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Fights on Showtime over the weekend? Wow, big results, big upset. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, the iHeartRadio Network. I want to say hello to all the troops on the American Forces Network.